This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor.
I don't marry trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, want you peep the score. Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Friday morning, March the 19th, 2021. A lot of college basketball today, fellas. 16 games today and tomorrow. The four play-in games yesterday. Apparently, UCLA beat Michigan State. I would have no idea how that took place because it was on very, very late last night. But let's say good morning. And Chris, I don't know if you heard this, but I love this. I miss this. Rick asking anybody for help. As I'm where I am in my home. You're in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Rick is home. I hear through the speaker, "Who do you like in this Kansas game?" He's asking. Who do you like in the Kansas game? I miss those days. I miss them greatly.
Yeah, I miss them too, Dave. So let me get this straight. DiPietro is actually going to participate in your bracket challenge?
You'd have to ask him that question. It sounds like he's trending in that direction. I don't know if it, I mean, he's welcome to. I'd love to have him. The stress level this guy has when doing anything, I don't know if it's good for his mental and physical health.
No, I think we all realize it's not. Not only am I participating, I may be coming in with multiple brackets.
Wow. Look at really? Him coming in hot.
Really? I may be coming in hot if I
you're
figure out how to set
it. These guys, you're going to be one of these guys that has multiple Final Fours, aren't you? Like, you have no conviction in your picks, so you're going to join a couple of times just to kind of hedge?
No, I have one bracket that I really like. This is like bracket number 57 that I really like. And then there were a couple games that could go either way, so in my second bracket, I adjusted.
So don't bury the lead. It took you 56 tries to finally get a bracket that you actually liked.
Yeah, this is like a beautiful mind at this point. Like, I have my war room. I have like every other person's bracket, like every college basketball expert's bracket,
mm-hmm.
like all printed out and then like laid across the desk and trying to like line up. Okay, how many guys of the 15 brackets I have printed out like this certain team? It's ugly, man.
You are really touched, DiPietro, for going through all of that trouble to try to put together an NCAA bracket.
It's a crapshoot. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to why any of this stuff happens.
No, I understand what you're saying, but again, this is my fatal flaw in life, though. This is what almost, you know, ended my hockey career prematurely, and probably ended up besides the injuries did, is because for some reason I feel like the only thing I can control is how much time and effort and preparation I put into doing it. So, like, when I tell you by 7 o'clock when the puck dropped, I was mentally worn out.
Oh, I'm sure. I have no doubt.
That's because I had spent 7 straight hours going back and forth, like, mentally envisioning what was going to happen during the game, which
did
we all know.
Did you ever talk to, and I'm being serious, actually, when I say this, did you ever talk to, a sports therapist of, like, how to tone it down a little bit so you weren't at a fever pitch all the time with everything?
No, I did, yeah. I mean, I had success with it, but one of the things that she said to do was to visualize. And I decided that if some visualization is good, then more is better.
Did she say, ask anybody you come in contact with for help on selecting games in any random sport?
No, that was never mentioned. I just figured, I mean, this is part of the preparation.
I'm so confused right now. Dave Rothenberg asking Rick DiPietro, has he ever talked to a sports therapist? If anybody needs to talk to a sports therapist, it would be Dave.
I just think therapist in general, yeah. Therapist
yeah,
in
just
general.
A general therapist. But I miss the days when we'd be in the cafeteria and I'd walk by with like my yogurt and my fruit plate, and I would hear Rick talking to the woman that was ringing me up, like, "Who do you like? You like the Seahawks? I mean, do you think Russell Wilson is going to have time this weekend, or do you see the Rams defense as something that's going to get in his way?" I'd be like, "Oh my god!"
Well, how does that right? work out? I mean, you mock me, but I won the picks.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Fair point.
Now, granted, you'd be two guys that you could probably just make any picks and you would have beaten.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I don't know about that. Stop that.
I mean,
I got a
on.
Super Bowl champ and I have one of, I mean, pound for pound. I mean, sports trivia, sports knowledge, the best
sports
in the business.
But don't you understand? The amount of sports knowledge you have does not correlate to the way you're able to pick games.
yeah, I understand that. In theory, that makes sense. But for some reason, in my mind, I've talked myself into the more people I ask.
Well, I know.
The more consensus I have, the better I feel about
it.
I
know. People probably listen to, they think we're kidding. It's a joke. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. There's not anybody that you can come into contact with that you won't ask their advice on. Someone knows a 50th of what you know. A 50th. Like, you have a lot of knowledge with this stuff. And you will ask anyone that you come into contact with, hey, do you, how do you feel about Old Dominion in this game tonight? I mean, you think that they're going to be able to hit the threes? I mean, it's amazing what you do.
Well, yeah, but never. Here's the thing, though. You never know. This is why I'm a people person. I like to get to know people.
You are.
You never
a people
know
person.
that one person that I ask about whatever game it ends up being. Maybe that person is like a super fan of the team.
You just run into like the Rain Man of whatever sport, and they're like, "Wow."
And the guy's like, well, "Funny you ask me about Seattle."
That's right. I was just studying the.
I'm a humongous Seattle fan.
That's right. I actually hail from Norfolk, and I can tell you the Norfolk State is. One of the best teams on the interior. Yes, take them.
These are the things you learn, Dave. You never know.
These are the things you learn. But the thing is, if it goes sideways, now it ruins your everything.
Yeah, but also what it does to me, it's also a built-in excuse if things go wrong. Like, I can sometimes, like, I'll just, now I can, in my mind, I can blame somebody else for the decision.
So you terrible. Have a fall guy.
I got a fall guy. Yeah, okay. The great Chris Carter said, always mm-hmm. have a fall guy.
Yeah, but I don't think he was talking about with, like, picks.
I just think he meant, I think he meant
in general. You can find a lot of utility in having one of those.
Like in real life, it's Pete. Like in my real life, every day when Pete's around, Pete's the fall guy. He knows that. He accepts it. And he's fine with it. But as far as picks are concerned, it could be Miss J in the cafeteria. Whoever it ends up being. Could be the fall guy. Could be Steve. When he's finished up heating up the Russian dressing, I ask him, hey, what do you think about this game?
Got a lot of reaction from that story, by the way, yesterday.
You know Steve was a big-time high school football player, right?
Steve Hart?
Steve Hart was, yeah.
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah. They called him Meat. His nickname was Meat.
What was that movie, Porky's, where they called the guy Meat?
So I used to call him Mincemeat.
I don't want to give up the meat.
So he thought it was funny. So do you know that Steve Hart brought me in a mincemeat pie one time as a present? He went out and bought me a mincemeat pie.
That's nice. See, I got to tell you, and he's our traffic director. He gets all the commercials on the air, and he works 24/7. He is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Loves to talk. I mean, if you ask Steve Hart one question, you're signing up.
Now.
Yeah, you're signing
That's
up.
That's why
for
he works 24/7 because 23 of the hours is caught in conversation, and the other one is actually getting things done.
quick question here before we get to the Knicks: North Carolina, Wisconsin. Who do you guys like?
North Carolina.
I agree.
North Carolina. All right. Yeah.
You want a little rationale behind that one? I actually have seen Carolina play a ton this year.
Well, you hate Carolina.
Well, yeah, but now you know it's an honest opinion. Very big team. Lot of size on North Carolina.
Lot of size. All right.
Size does matter.
In this case, I think it does. Yes. I was always told it doesn't. Freshman in Walker Kessler. They have a high recruit in Armando Bacot, 6'11". Garrison Brooks, 6'11". Lot of size on Carolina.
So, Canty, what you're saying is they're just lying to you when they say size doesn't matter. Then, just to make you feel better. Is that what you're insinuating?
I was just bringing up the point. I mean, Dave Rothenberg says it's a big size team.
It is a big size team.
There you go.
Dave's a big girth guy.
Big size, big girth, big all of it.
I don't want to give up the meat.
I can't believe the tournament hadn't even really started and my bracket is already busted.
Did you have Michigan State on a run? State doing stuff?
I had Michigan State advancing the next weekend. I'm disgusted. I went to bed feeling good about it, and now it's like my bracket is completely busted. It's my first year being in the Rothenberg Bracket Challenge. I'm like, I feel good about my bracket. Everybody's talking about how Michigan State is a dark horse team and how they can play with anybody in the country when they're right, and then they get ousted by UCLA. Come on.
And I don't even know how it happened. That's the thing. Come the game on. Started 10-20. When I went to bed, Michigan State was up 9. I wake up, they lose the game.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I don't even want to know how it happened. I'm just completely disgusted with Michigan State. I'm done with them. I'm done with Tom Izzo. I'm done with the team.
Did I see, though, from your sheet, that you have Georgetown making a little run?
Yeah, you saw that, huh? You saw that. You think I'm just playing to you because it's my first time in your tournament. But I'm not, though, Dave. I mean, I really like Georgetown. I like the way that they were playing in the Big East tournament.
Nice.
A big part of success in the postseason is hitting your stride at the right time.
Could not agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. All right. You have any other college basketball questions, Rick? Are you ready to get into the New York Knickerbockers?
No, I will at some point. Yeah, I will have. I mean, there's a couple I do have questions on.
You'll sprinkle them in throughout the show?
I will sprinkle them in, yeah.
Terrific. Speaking of the show today, get to know your co-host at 6:45, a Rick DiPietro edition. How long did it take you to draw up the questions for that?
Cass and I sat around for probably, you know, 40, 45 minutes.
You are unbelievable. You are so neurotic.
I can't help it. I cannot help it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
45 minutes.
There's something wrong with me. I realize this. I know I probably should. I don't have the time to seek counseling. Maybe I'll Zoom call. I need some kind of help.
You don't have the time because you're pouring over picks and brackets and stuff for the show and recordings and all sorts of stuff. That's why you don't have time.
No, and it's taken over my life at this point. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it to people. They think I'm joking.
No, you're not joking. Adam Schefter, 7:30. Oh, you know what, Chris? I think you would have been very proud of me yesterday.
What happened?
Rick tried to bully me into a frenzy. He said, let's do a frenzy. I want to do a frenzy. We need to do a frenzy. I said, no. I said, Chris loves the frenzy too much. I will agree to do the frenzy on Friday when Chris has returned.
I appreciate you having my back, Dave Rothenberg.
Like that kind of party?
DiPietro, you should be ashamed of yourself. How could you do a frenzy without me?
I just suggested it. We did a frenzy light.
How could you suggest something like that? You know how much I love the frenzy.
Push me.
Well, I know, but I wanted to. Listen, here's the thing, though. You know, being selfish, I did want to do the frenzy, but I also wanted to do the frenzy today and yesterday. I don't think we can have enough frenzies. Pacing is great
today, but I didn't want it to happen, Chris. I didn't want you to feel left out, and I said I will not do the frenzy if Chris is not here. Did I say that, Rick? Is that
you said that? Yeah, I will give you credit, and I also wanted to give Chris credit because I saw the clip of it, and you know, Chris, whenever he's on Get Up on Thursdays, I always watch. This is why Dave Rothenberg should not have a Saturday morning hockey show. Chris and I should have a Saturday morning hockey show. Canty's doing hockey highlights on Get Up, Dave.
I saw it with the beautiful save from Georgie.
He's breaking down Georgie, filling in for Shesterkin. I mean, he's got the knowledge. Should have seen Greeny. Greeny's like, oh, look at this guy. Multifaceted.
That's right. Multifaceted.
You don't think I'm smart?
You don't give me a lot of credit. Let's get to the Knicks. 800-919-3776. I would have if they would have lost that game last night, you would hear a very heated, angry, desperate Dave Rothenberg this morning. I am very pleased, but was very concerned that was going to go sideways last night.
Yeah, Dave, but even if they did lose that game last night, they had a legitimate reason.
You're talking about
them only having one real point guard that was available to play last night.
Totally get it.
Who's that?
If they would have just like organically lost, okay. But you led by 13 points in the fourth quarter against Orlando. Yeah, you have to figure out a way to close that game out.
No, you do, and you're glad that they were able to make the plays down the stretch, and Frank Ntilikina and Alec Burks came up with some big buckets, but also Bullock, man, he was phenomenal yesterday. I mean, him in the fourth quarter being able to knock down open shots, that was huge, and then coming up with that steal to secure the win after he had to turn over the possession before, like that was a huge way to bounce back for him, and so that was a good win. I mean, it was a back-and-forth game. You saw they fell behind early, but they clawed back in front, and then they fell behind again in the fourth quarter, but they were able to find a way to make plays, and we keep talking about this Knicks team having somebody to be able to close the show, and last night, even though the statistics don't bear it out, Julius Randle was really the catalyst for them being able to go on that 10-0 run in the fourth quarter to take control of that game.
Well, Julius Randle was your point guard last night.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, he was phenomenal. I mean, you're right, Dave. I mean, had they lost that game, you would have been disappointed.
It would have been a terrible loss. I mean,
both of you were right, though.
On a 19-2 run in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster. 19-2 run. Then they steadied the ship. Then all of a sudden, the magic
then
went
it
on
fell apart
another,
again.
Another 10-0 run. And then you went on a 10-0 run. But, I mean, late in that game, you could tell Julius Randle was not going to allow his team to lose. And I will say this. I could argue that was probably the most satisfying win for me this year as a Knicks fan.
Really?
Yeah, with what they were dealing with. And I know the Magic aren't a good team, but Chris is right. I mean, you can say that Frank is a legitimate point. He's not. I mean,
no, he's
let's be honest. No. He's not. So you didn't really have a point guard in that game. And you found a way to pull it out. And that was a must. I mean, those games against teams that you should
you
beat are right now must
game.
Win games.
Because you know what you have coming up on Sunday. It's Philadelphia again, and you got Milwaukee coming up again. A couple games against Washington, who's played better of late. So I mean, we've talked about this. You know, it'd be nice to beat Brooklyn. It'd be nice to beat Philly. But the games you have to win, the OKCs of the world, the Orlandos of the world, you have to close that out. And fortunately, last night they did. And Randall was phenomenal last night.
Yeah, another triple-double. I mean, he was legitimately your point guard. And he did not shoot well. But again, he facilitated the offense. Late in the game, he made big buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, I mean, the identity of the Knicks, which I love, is their defense. And Bullock comes through. And he was good for you, too. I mean, especially from three last night, he was great. But again, I mean, it's another situation where the Knicks need another guy. They do. Even if
desperately.
They desperately need that one other guy to take some of the pressure off Julius Randle.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that R.J. Barrett can develop within the timeline where you can take advantage of Julius Randle playing the way that he's playing?
I think you probably can, but I still think that you need one more piece in the backcourt. Like, even if it was at this point with how bad Houston is, I mean, I probably should have brought them up in observations. I mean, they're horrendous. Awful. They're brutal.
Did I see this right? They've lost 17 in a row?
Yes. Franchise record. Yeah.
Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. Their last win was February 4th, I think, was their last win.
Yeah.
It's like, so Oladipo, I mean, if you don't have to give up much, I wouldn't even mind. I mean, I think Oladipo would help.
Well, you shouldn't have to give up much, right? That's an expiring contract.
Yes.
So he should be available for the taking. It doesn't make sense for Houston to hold on to him. I mean, he already rejected their contract extension offer. So, I mean, you got to think that they're going to look to move him. And if you're the Knicks, that could be the kind of bargain that you're looking for, because I'm with you, Rick. You do need more punch from a scoring perspective, and adding a piece in a backcourt, I really feel like can make the difference between this Knicks team being one of the play-in teams versus being a team at the end of the regular season that's in a real playoff series.
And it is all clogged up there, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Like 50, 10th, a win, and all of a sudden you're moving up, a loss, and you're falling out of things. It is really clogged up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the Knicks fans want to thank the Lakers fans, y'all can go ahead. Because, I mean, we did knock Charlotte down a peg last time. I'm just saying. Throwing that out there.
Is LeBron James the MVP?
I've told you that from the start this season.
Yes. Yes.
And you can tell he wants it. I mean, after that game, too, he's talking about how he deserves it.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
And Embiid getting hurt helps the chances of LeBron to win this MVP as well.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think I've worn jeans since the pandemic.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there's going to be a time where you get back into jeans and button-down shirts and appropriate dress, or do you think this will change you forever?
No, I would imagine at some point I'm going to get back to that. But, I mean, for now, there's no reason to.
No, there's absolutely no reason to. I think we should just make it the way. Like, you never wear jeans again. You just sweatpants, shorts, comfort, you know?
Yeah, but I very rarely wear – I mean, even when we go to the studio, I very rarely wear jeans to the studio either.
No.
I mean, jeans are supposed to be comfortable, though, aren't they?
But it feels like jeans at this point is dressing up, doesn't it?
Well, I guess that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I mean, there's no reason for the most part to get dressed in any
sense. I'm tired of putting on sweats, though, guys. I'm tired of it. I'm over it, yeah. I know it's comfort, but it's just like, man, it's nice to actually put on clothes. Like, going on Get Up yesterday and actually putting on a suit, like, it actually feels good to get dressed
terrific,
up.
You look terrific, by the way.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Well, I got to represent the show well. I mean, I can't get up there looking like a schlub.
No. You always represent the show beautifully. Beautifully.
Thank you, Dave. Look at you. Yeah. Very complimentary.
I missed you. You can tell I missed you the way I'm sitting. I mean, I wouldn't do... He tried to force me to do a frenzy. I wouldn't do that. Telling you how nice you looked yesterday. Yeah, I did. I missed you.
I missed you guys, too. I was actually listening to you guys early yesterday morning. Got a lot of hockey talk in there.
Aww. Well, it's because Dave embarrassed himself, Chris. You know this. I mean, the Rangers have, I mean, a historic night. He doesn't even mention it. 34 minutes into the show, finally mentions it. And this is the guy with the hockey show.
You know, and I don't need to defend myself. You want to talk hockey for the next 2 hours and 36 minutes? Let's have at it.
The puck is black! What?
We get our insider, Stephen A., to come down and break it the whole thing down for us if you want.
I would rather stay away from hockey after last night. Let's avoid hockey.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
Came back all that way just to fall short.
Is a mother.
Why are you icing the puck there, though? I mean, you got full control. You end up, it's stupid icing. It's stupid icing you take, and then they score off that face. It's ridiculous.
That's enough hockey. Let's go to King, the King in Brooklyn. King, you're first up. Good morning on a Friday at 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning. The Knicks. The way they played last night, Rick, I 100% agree with you as far as the most satisfying win of the season. Because the odds were stacked against them. And the way Julius Randle came out swinging with the assists, six assists, basically in the first quarter, they could have easily just folded when they was behind in the fourth quarter and they gave up that lead. So I feel like they had some big wins against the Bucks and everything. But as far as moving forward, this is definitely one of the best wins of the season for me. And you definitely hit on the head, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you see, I mean, when they're healthy, they're limited at that position. And you see them, they struggle without Derrick Rose and Alfred Payton. Now, on top of it, you have no Emmanuel Quickley. And I don't care what any coach says. I would almost guarantee that Thibs feels the same way about last night, because when they ask him, you know, going into the game, and he's like, "Oh, we have plenty to win." I mean, that's coach speak. You know, you don't really have plenty to win.
No, you don't. You have enough to win, but you don't have plenty to win.
Exactly right.
You have
Thank
no
God you
margin.
Played a bad team last night.
Well, here's the thing. You have no margin for error, and it took your power forward having 17 dimes in order for your team to have a chance to beat the Orlando Magic
Shoot the
by
J.
one.
Shoot it!
So, yeah, I mean, razor-thin margin of error, but they were able to make the plays down the stretch to win the game. So you got to tip your cap to them, man. This is a team that always fights back. They always find a way to be able to get off of a mat in a back-and-forth game. I mean, as a Knicks fan, you got to be pleased to see the fact that this team was able to find a way to win it at the end.
And they play hard. That's what I love. Like I'm actually at the point, and we are, what, 40-something games into the season. What are they, 21-21? Is that right?
Yep, 42 games in.
So that we're 42 games into the season. They're enjoyable to watch. Like, I enjoy watching Knicks basketball. And whatever happens from here on out, when was the last time, Rick, you could look at the Knicks and say, you know what? It's appointment television. They're fun to watch. And I enjoy watching these games. It's been a minute.
It's been more than a minute. Been way more than a minute. It's been too long. But I mean, this is what happens when you have a coach like Thibs. And I know it's cliche with culture and everything else. You know, what's the team's identity? But, I mean, clearly this Knicks team is bought in. And when you turn on the television every single time you watch them play, and then there is an occasional, like you had, you know, Milwaukee coming out of the break where you get your doors blown off because Milwaukee's that much better. But for the most part, you're going to see consistent effort. You're going to see great defense. And they'll be, even when they lose, against good teams. I mean, you lost the two of the best teams in the East, but it's right down to the very last possession with a chance to either tie it up or win it. That's all you ask for.
That's it. Especially when you, I mean, let's be fair. This is not the most talented team.
No.
Right? All you want is to look at your team, I think in any sport ever, as a fan, as a player, as whatever, and say, are we getting as much as we can out of what we have? And you can absolutely say that about the Knicks right now, Chris, that they are getting as much as they can out of what they have.
Yeah, they're getting every ounce out of their ability, and most importantly, they're establishing a foundation for what they're going to be in the future. Like, there's going to be an identity with this Knicks team, and it falls in line with the identities of teams that were coached by Thibs in the past. And that's something, as a Knicks fan, that you can sign up for. Because, I mean, this is going to be a team that always gives consistent effort. They're always going to play good defense, which means they're always going to have a chance, especially in regular season games, when you know that teams aren't always locked in. So, I mean, that's gonna set you up for sustainable success. I don't think this is going to be an aberration or an outlier. This is just the beginning of the program building for Leon Rose and Thibs. It's only going to get better from here.
So you believe, because this would be big, that all the disaster that the Knicks have been for such a long time is done. You can look in the rearview mirror and see that, because this is a new functional Knicks. You believe that?
Oh, I absolutely do, Dave.
Yes.
But not just that I believe it. I think people in NBA circles are going to start to believe it, which means eventually this thing will evolve into the Knicks being a destination for players that want to get out of their current situation, whether they're free agents or whether they want to force a trade. Like, I mean, everybody talks about how New York should be a destination. I think it'll become that if the Knicks prove that they're a functional franchise, kind of like what we saw the Brooklyn Nets do. And so, yeah, I think the Knicks are on the verge of becoming that. It's early. You know, you're only talking about 42 games in, but so far, so good. The early returns are really, really positive. I don't know how you could point to anything that's happened this year and be negative about it if you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah, I know it's early. I mean, I get what you're saying, but in the past, and I mean, for a lot of the recent past, I mean, this late into a season, because we're only playing 72, we're playing meaningless basketball at this point.
Meaningless.
And
I mean, they've matched
chance.
Last year's win total already now.
No, I know. I mean, and they're doing exactly what we keep asking them to do.
Just go out and play hard. That's
well,
it.
No, I mean, not even that. They play hard against really good teams. They give themselves an opportunity.
That's right, and they beat the teams that are not good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You know what we really could use is a bracket that has correct spelling for certain teams, like Creighton, for example.
You know what? Here's what bothers me about you. Is you are a nitpicker, is what you are. If there's anything that you can find flaw with, you find it, you call it out. Do you know, apparently, and I didn't even know this until RJ pointed this out, because of course you pointed this out. Did you know what team was being suggested, or were you at a loss for what team you were trying to pick there?
What do you mean? I don't understand the question.
Well, what's the name of the team, of the school?
Creighton.
Okay. So it's spelled incorrectly. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yes, it's
Creighton. Do you still know that it's Creighton, Creighton, or did you look at it and say, what school is this possibly being discussed here?
I was confused at first.
Oh,
I
mean, stop
almost,
it.
At that point, I'm like, I don't even know who this is. I'm going to have to go with
you. Can't spell sympathetic without pathetic.
You know he's going to die on that hill, right, Dave?
It's amazing.
He's going to defend his position. He's not going to come off it.
You know what it was suggested to me the other day, and I defended you, and I shouldn't, and I think this is accurate. You should be Jewish. Because you complain about everything. It is a buddy of mine, he goes, he's like an old Jewish woman. I said, no, come, not really. You are. I mean, every single thing. When you show up at someone's house, you're like, oh, the traffic was terrible. It took us an hour and 12 and should have taken 57 minutes and the GPS sent us the wrong way. Like, all you do is complain.
I'm going to take that as a compliment. I mean, it's just further proof that I've assimilated to being in New York, being on Long Island. I fit right in.
You've assimilated beautifully. They've taken you as one of their own is what's happened.
That's what's happening.
What are you doing for Passover next weekend? Any big plans?
I wasn't invited over. I was hoping to
having us, because now you're a member of the tribe.
Yeah, but I've heard you complain about, oh, God forbid, I have to come all the way out to Long Island to see my mom.
I'm going out to Long Island next Saturday.
Are you going to be out in Long Island?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, swing by and say hello.
Oh, please. You haven't seen a human person in years at this point.
Yeah, but I've already had COVID, and then I went yesterday. Cassie took me to the doctor yesterday to get my heart all checked out.
And how's that?
Heart looks perfect.
So you can't get the shot for a while then, right?
No, I just read there was a story out. There was actually a story out yesterday. So I'm getting they're going to do a blood test and see what my antibodies are right now. But they said yesterday, I read a report that most people, not all people, but most people that have had COVID have 6 months where they're good.
And your whole family has had it, right?
The whole family's had it, yeah.
So you guys should be out gallivanting.
No. I mean, no. Going to the doctor was the big trip out yesterday.
And the heart is good? You cleared protocol?
Heart is great. Yeah, he said it looks fantastic. Blood pressure is great.
Beautiful.
See, here's my only issue, though, and this is why she took me and I needed my blood tested. So I've had a blood clot before. When I had my hip and knee done, I was non-weight-bearing. And I didn't know that apparently till Mickey Rourke told me this was after I had the blood clot.
You got to stop that, man. That makes Dave and I so uncomfortable, man. You can't do that.
See, I look at it as a compliment. It's a
how?
How is that a compliment to your mother?
It's not meant as a compliment. Nobody thinks of it as a compliment, and don't do it. And it makes us very uncomfortable.
So after I finally get through like all the blood thinners, like Cassie having to shoot me up and everything else, and the blood clot dissolved, my mother had... which she failed to mention at the time. Oh, by the way, your grandfather had the same thing. I think it runs in our family. You should get your blood tested.
Wait, you were like well into your 30s? You had a surgery and your mother then told you you might have a clotting issue?
Correct. Correct. This is after I actually had the blood clot, which is I could say maybe the most painful thing I've ever had in my entire life. Like I felt like my calf was going to explode. It hurt that bad.
I can't believe that. Like, most parents are so diligent and on top of their kids, you know, potential ailments. And your mom was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you might have a clotting issue.
Yeah, but so now I know that, which is I mean, obviously something that you should know.
You should know from the time you're a kid, I would think.
Exactly right. So that's part of the reason why we went yesterday and he's going to do blood tests just in case, you know, he wants me maybe on like an aspirin regimen or whatever it is because I have the propensity to clot, my blood clot. So, okay. I don't know. We'll see how that turns out.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad that you went to the doctor. Good for you. All right.
Well, thank you, Dave.
What happened?
I said, thank you, Dave. You're very nice today. You've been complimentary to Canty, me. I mean, I like you guys today.
Very much. I do. And I want to feel like I'm getting my first injection today, by the way.
Today's the day?
Today's the day. I'm getting shot one, yes.
You know which one you're getting?
I do not. I don't think they tell you what you get before you just show up and they give you what they have.
Okay, well, let me know how you feel afterwards.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the reaction because I got a big weekend of college basketball. I don't want to not be at my top of my game. Early risers will get work. Yeah,
because my dad
my game is quite the mountain.
So my dad had a really bad reaction to the first shot and was fine after the second shot. My mother had the first shot, no problem. Her arm was sore. That was it. And now she just had her second shot, and for the last couple of days she's been
Now, when you say really bad reaction, well, like what does that mean? Like fever? Like can't get out of bed, or just a little malaise? Or
no, he had. I mean, the symptoms of COVID. Like, he had a fever.
Really?
He was exhausted. He said he couldn't. I mean, he couldn't lift his arm. He said his arm hurt that bad. He couldn't even lift his arm.
Really? And I don't see your dad as being a soft guy.
No, he's not.
No,
he's absolutely
so the fact
not.
That he didn't feel well. He really didn't feel well. All right. Well, I'm hoping it's not too bad.
You'll be, but even if it's, I mean, even if it's a day or whatever, you don't feel good. I mean,
whatever. I can deal with not feeling great. I just don't want to feel horrendous. You know, like if it's a little under the weather, fine. I just don't want to feel horrendous. All right, let's get to this Deshaun Watson story, guys. We kind of looked the other way when the first thing came out and thought maybe it was, you know, some kind of a internal issue with the Texans or whatnot. Now it's three, and now it's six that have apparently. Have allegations against him, and it's three that actually have strong allegations that are going to, you know, bring suit against Deshaun Watson. It's how many now?
It could be up to nine.
Up to nine is what the attorney is claiming, yeah. I think three lawsuits have been filed.
Three lawsuits is right.
Yeah, three have been filed, but he's saying that up to six more will potentially be filed in the coming days.
This is to say troubling would be an understatement at this point, wouldn't it?
Yes. I mean, this is now a pattern of behavior at this point. I mean, you went from the first one, then it was the second one, and then we heard it could be up to six, and now it's the third one, which is actually sexual assault, and potentially up to nine.
Nine now?
That's what he's saying, and that's what the attorney's saying.
Yeah, here's my thing on this. A couple of things, actually. First of all, I think Deshaun Watson deserves the presumption of innocence until this process plays itself out. But I also think his accusers deserve to have these allegations taken seriously and investigated. What I don't understand, Dave and Rick, is why the attorney, Tony Busby, decides he's going to post a letter on social media from Lisa Friel, who is special counsel to investigations for the NFL, saying that they're going to open up an inquiry about Deshaun Watson to see if there's a violation of the personal conduct policy. I don't understand, if you're the attorney, why you would post that on social media. Like, this Tony Busby character seems real shady,
like
to say the least. Really
real
shady.
Shyster attorney, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I would say, you say, why would he do it? I think he did it for the exact reason that you think, is that he wants the court of public opinion to look at things and say, oh, my God, look at what this guy has done. And the NFL is now doing a full investigation of where we are with Deshaun Watson and these allegations.
Well, I mean, the NFL is trying to get to the bottom of it,
and
but the NFL is trying to throw the full weight of their resources behind, you know, these women to try to uncover, you know, the actual issues and what took place. Like, I just feel like if it's in the interest of trying to do right by these women, I don't understand why the attorney is taking this position and putting everything out there on social media. I mean, going as far as to put text messages between Deshaun Watson and one of the women out there on social media. I just think that this is all evidence that should be used as a part of the investigation and potentially any type of trial that would take place.
Here's the other thing, too, which is regarding Deshaun Watson and some of the decisions that he's made. And again, this is, we'll wait. I mean, they're going to obviously investigate at the NFL, and everyone else involved is going to investigate this, and the truth hopefully will come out. But I mean, at a certain point, you have to be smart enough not to put yourself in these kind of positions, too, if you're Deshaun Watson.
See, that's the thing I don't know about, Rico. Like, that's the thing that's tough about this, because, I mean, he's getting a massage. He's a professional athlete. Like, his body is his business. You can understand him wanting to have that
service.
Well,
no, listen, I mean, we all work with massage therapists.
Sure.
But I've heard, I mean, you've probably heard the same exact stories. Like, I've heard this story too many times from massage therapists. But I just can't imagine, if you're Deshaun Watson, that I'm flying in a masseuse from Atlanta and then having just me and that masseuse in a hotel room by ourselves having a massage.
Well,
I don't know if that's the best spot to put yourself in.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, either they're going to be there, they're going to be at your home. I mean, where would they go to?
Well, I would. I mean, if I'm going to have a massage, I'm going to do it in my home. I'm going to have.
I mean, that's still a dicey proposition, though, Rico.
Well, but
if you're a single guy,
if you're in your home and you're inappropriate, what, like, you can be inappropriate anywhere, no?
Well, no, but not even that. I'm not even saying that. This is just being in that situation where when there's no one there, it's just you and the masseuse.
Yeah.
And the masseuse, I mean, it's It's what Deshaun Watson says and what the masseuse says.
Yeah.
And you can't – I mean, who are we to sit here and try to tell her how she feels about the certain situation? Like, maybe – like, say it was for the sake of this conversation. Deshaun Watson, I mean, has gotten – I mean, we all as athletes get, you know, thousands of massages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the areas that we need worked on are sometimes, you know, awkward – areas to work on.
Your glutes, your groin, you need those areas massaged. You got to get in and break up that break up those tissues and make sure that everything is laying the right way. So yeah, you got to get into intimate areas in order for the athlete to be at peak performance when it's game time.
Exactly right. So if you've had one experience with a masseuse that knows, you know, has worked on professional athletes and knows, you know, I'm going in, I'm going to have hamstrings, groins, and everything else, and you know, you've had massages from this person a handful of times, and it's, you know, you get on the table, you take your clothes off, and, you know, you're naked with a towel, and he or she works on you, and that's acceptable. Well, that could be different than another masseuse that you use that, you know, you all of a sudden jump on the table and you're naked, and that masseuse is like, whoa, 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 what do I mean? What kind of massage do you think we're doing here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you leave too much up in the air for, to potentially put yourself in a position where you could get in trouble like this. Like, you need to know, and I understand what Chris is saying, because it's just, I can't even tell you how many massages I've had, how many mm-hmm. massages Chris has had.
Yeah.
I just, you put yourself in a tough spot when it's just you and somebody else, and you can't, like, and you now are in a situation where it's, you know, how she feels, and now what you're saying, and how you see the situation.
Yeah. No, I get where you're coming from. I just feel like it's hard to protect yourself from... you know, an accusation like that, you know, because anything, you know, you're talking about it coming down to a he said, she said scenario. Like, I don't know how you insulate yourself from that if you're a professional athlete outside of, you know, potentially having the massage therapist come to the facility to give you your massage.
Right.
Or having other people in the room.
Like a nurse practitioner in the room.
In the room while you're getting a massage. And I know guys that have done that. Like, I know guys that have done that. I also know guys that have had therapists at their homes or at hotel rooms. I mean, different guys do it different ways. It's just, you know, we don't know what happened in all of this. And so you're just waiting for more evidence to come out, and it seems like this thing is going to go down the road of going to an actual trial, and then we'll actually see, you know, what both parties have to say once they put their cards on the table. So, I just think that's what this thing has to do. It has to run its course. But when you're looking at the Deshaun Watson situation, it's offseason and him potentially being moved from the Texans. I mean, this just adds another layer of ugly on top of an already untenable situation.
Maybe this is completely unfair, and it might be. It's hard to look past the fact that there are now 3 lawsuits and 9 allegations. I'm sorry, it is. If you told me there was one, I'd say, all right, well, it's one person. To get to this number, and I think it's probably unfair to have this thought, but I don't think I'm the only person to have this thought. It's a lot of numbers. It is. And I've heard he's a great guy, but that's such a horrendous take from people in my mind, because great guys can't do bad things. And I'm not saying he did it. I'm just saying my antennas are up a lot more today than they were earlier in the week.
But you are kind of insinuating that, though, Dave.
You are saying
he's guilty because there are up to nine accusers.
I don't mean to say that. I'm just saying that 9 accusers is a big number. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but people can be accused by anybody at any time for anything. And I guess when I'm looking at this Deshaun situation and knowing the attorney and how shady he seems to be, it's just I have strong feelings about it, but I don't want to cast aspersions on either party. I think this whole process has to play itself out. And so for us on the outside looking in, there's really not much we can do or any conclusions that we can draw based on the facts that we have right now.
No, I don't disagree. I think Dave's point is that you can't, that can't be your only defense, is that, well, he's a really good guy. And he has a, you know, he has this, you know, sterling reputation.
That's
and
a horrendous
he's a great
defense.
Guy. That can't be the only defense.
No, it can't be his only defense. But again, we have a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. I know the burden of proof is different in civil court than it is in criminal court. But still, like, Deshaun Watson deserves to have his day in
100%.
Court.
Yes.
And so I think until we get to that point, we shouldn't make any judgments about whether or not he's guilty of doing the things he's being accused of.
No, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. I think the reason why Dave feels the way he feels, and I kind of feel the same way, is because initially when we talked about this, and we actually had a really good conversation about this before the show a couple days ago, when you started, you know, with the situation of forcing his way out of Houston, and then all of a sudden you have this attorney and his proximity to the owner of Houston, and it was one woman. It almost like you start connecting dots, and
yep.
It seems shady at the time.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden you're talking about three, that's six, and now potentially nine. Like, I would have a hard time.
All represented by the same attorney.
All represented by the same attorney. But that's going above and beyond.
No, it is going above and beyond. But Rico, you could also look at it on the flip side of it and say you have potentially nine accusers of sexual misconduct, and none of them felt like they wanted to go to law enforcement and file a formal complaint and start the criminal process? Like, none of them? So, I mean, that's a little bit curious to me, too. Again, I don't think we have enough information either way to start throwing judgment or casting aspersions on either parties.
But, Chris, I will say this, though. I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson and you're his attorney, Rusty Harden, like, this is something that can't wait. Like, you can't afford to just sit on this.
Yeah, you got to get out ahead of this.
Like, you need to get out ahead of this.
How do you get out ahead of this, guys? How?
Like, they have to present something. I mean, because this is just snowballing now on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but what would that something be?
So I don't know what it is, but it has to be, I mean, some kind of insight into where he stands, like what his defense of these allegations is going to be.
Yeah, and maybe they can find their other therapists that have worked with him
yep.
that can be character witnesses. I mean, just try to find, you know, people that have been in, you know, those types of situations with him, and, you know, they'll vouch for his character and saying that he conducted himself as a professional. Like, I guess that would be something that you'd have to bring to the table. But again, I think this is going to come down to a he said, she said. Unless there's a smoking gun, a proverbial smoking gun with the evidence, like I don't know how this thing gets resolved and how Deshaun Watson can mount some kind of
defensive.
Yeah, some kind of defense that would make all of this stuff go away.
It's a very troubling situation. 800-919-3776. I'll throw this out there for you guys, and we'll get calls on it as well. So you're a team now in the NFL. You're the Niners, you're the Jets, you're the Broncos. Are you giving up real equity for Deshaun Watson now with this standing over his head? And I think that's the question.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.